So also I want to invite you to reach and open your Bible up to Colossians chapter 4. As we close out the book of Colossians today, I want to close it out with a passage of Scripture that oftentimes we skip over. As we think about skipping over, you come to the end of the book of Colossians, and my guess is you've had the experience. How many of you have had the experience of reading through the Old Testament or the Gospel of Matthew, and you roll through the genealogies, right? What do you have a tendency to do in the genealogies? Kind of skip through them, right? Kind of skip over them. Why? A couple of reasons, because you don't think there's much in there, and let's be honest, we can't pronounce those names, right? I mean, we just got to go ahead and move on. We got to say, I can't say that. All right, where does the other stuff start? When we come to the book of, to the latter part of the book of Colossians, now remember in Colossians chapter 1, Paul said we are complete in Christ. We are, to those that we communicate with and share the gospel, we are Christ in us, the hope of glory. We're the hope of glory. Man, if we think about Christ in us, as we go to Colossians chapter 2, Paul begins to share some amazing Christological thoughts that in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwelt in him in bodily form. In chapter 3, we've looked at it over the last couple of weeks, talked about how we as believers should act and walk, that we should put away certain sinful desires of the flesh and also put away some sinful relationships that we have, and how we talk and how we speak, and then we should put on certain things. And in chapter 4, he comes to the final concluding thoughts. And it's a passage we would normally skip over. Because really, when you get to about verse 7 of chapter 4, it's really just Paul giving a list of a bunch of people who have supported him in his ministry. And some of them, they're hard words to say. Really, what Paul does in the latter part of Colossians chapter 4, he says, hey, let's all gather up for a group picture. And when it comes to the ministry in the New Testament, we all know those guys like Paul and Peter and James and John. And we think, man, what incredible saints and followers of God. What amazing commitment. But you know, if you look in the book of Acts and the epistles, there are over 100 other people named that made ministry happen. In other words, apart from those others, Paul couldn't have done his work. Apart from those others, Jesus couldn't have done his work. Apart from those others, Peter couldn't have done his work. And so today, I want to talk about the other people who make ministry happen. Really, I want to talk to you about Paul's group picture of ministry. And the reason why I want to talk to you about it is so everyone in here knows how important you are to God's ministry. Regardless of your talents, your abilities, or your gifts. Regardless of whether you get much recognition or very little recognition. Regardless of whether you're well off are not so well off. Regardless of whether you do a high-profile job or ministry in the church, or whether you seem to be that person that's just kind of in the background, to let you know how much you matter to God. Now, as we go through this list, I'm going to share it with you. First of all, we understand that two of them were messengers. Two of them were messengers, all right? As we think about those two messengers, let's just put the passage up on the screen here. Two were messengers, and let me just read it for you. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. All right, the first thing I want you to do is on the count of three, as a congregation, I want us to all say that guy's name together. All right, one, two, three. I could hear some of y'all just kind of... Tychicus, all right? I would love for someone to name their kid Tychicus in this church. So when we do baby dedication, I could say, and we have Tychicus Mark right here. Doesn't that just have a neat little ring to it? He says, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. He says, I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances. Remember, Paul was in jail. And that he may encourage your hearts. He says, I want you to know about our circumstances, but Tychicus is going to encourage your heart. And then notice this next guy. He is coming with Onesimus, all right? Our faithful and dear brother. You say, boy, that doesn't say much about him, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about him here in a second. Who is one of you? He goes, they will tell you everything that is happening here. Now, as we think about those two messengers that were coming from Paul, one, write this down, one had a steadfast heart. One had a steadfast heart. That's Tychicus. If you want to put along next to steadfast, write the word courageous. Because if you go over and you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul, in one of his journeys, in one of his missionary journeys, said, I'm about to go to Jerusalem and trouble is going to be waiting for me. Tychicus was there with Paul. And he could have said, did you say trouble? And Paul says, yeah, I said probably prison and perhaps even death. Tychicus could have said, well, I'll pray for you, but I'm out. Tychicus went with him. He was courageous. Man, and there are people in our congregation that are courageous, that they're willing to say, man, I'll go. Baltimore, I'll go. Kenya, I'll go. Dominican Republic, I'll go. Wherever it is, I'll go, I'll go, I'll go with a courageous heart. There's another guy that was listed there. His name was Onesimus. He was one who had a sinful past. He was one who had a sinful past. Let me tell you a little bit about Onesimus. Onesimus had been raised up in the area of the Colossians, all right? He was actually a servant to a guy named Philemon. Anybody ever heard of the book of Philemon in the Bible? Philemon was probably the wealthiest church member in the church at Colossae. Onesimus was a servant or a worker, an employee somehow in his past of Philemon. At some point, previous to the writing of the book of Colossians, Onesimus ran away. And not only that, he probably stole a significant amount of money from Philemon on his way out. Somewhere along the road, or perhaps even in prison, Onesimus, who had stolen from Philemon, who was in Colossae, he had encountered Paul. Paul led him to the Lord. And then Paul began to talk somewhere to Onesimus, somewhere in some perhaps jail conversation or nighttime conversation. And Onesimus says, hey, what are you doing? He goes, well, I'm writing a letter to a dear church of mine. Where at? Over in Colossians. And Onesimus said, Paul said, you know where it is? yeah, I do. He goes, what do you mean you know where it is? He goes, well, that's kind of where I grew up. And he goes, really? He says, man, I've got a great friend over there named Philemon. And Onesimus said, yeah, he's probably not much of a friend to me. Paul says, why? And he goes, well, I ripped him off. I stole from him. Paul says, you know, now that you're a Christian, you're a new creature. He goes, I know, I'd love to go face to face with Philemon and just say, hey, man, I've got no excuses. I just want to apologize. I just want to tell you I'm sorry. But Onesimus says, you know, but I know he won't accept me back. Paul says, wait a second, I'll write him a little letter. And if you go read, I think we put it up on the screen there for you, Philippians and Philemon, that Paul says, hey, Philemon, I got this guy. His name's Onesimus. I'm sending him back to you. Greet him and welcome him. And you know, the truth is, we've got a bunch of folks in our church who have sinful past. We've got a bunch of folks in our church that, man, you've blown it, you've ripped off somebody, you've robbed from somebody, you've destroyed a relationship, you've made mistakes, you've blown it. You're Onesimus. Can I tell you this? God still has a plan for your life. The next three were comforters. There were three folks that gave great comfort. I tell you what, next to that word comfort, do me a favor and write the word encouragement. Because when you look at the original Greek, the original Greek word for comforter also has the word to encourage, to bring a strong heart. Well, let's look at these three, and I'll tell you a little bit about them in Colossians chapter 4. Verse 10, he says, also, my fellow prisoner, okay, here we go, Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Then look at verse 11, Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved to be an encouragement or a comfort to me. Now, you say, who are these guys? Who are these three encouragers or comforters? Let me tell you, one had a courageous heart. Write that down. One had a courageous heart. That was Aristarchus. Again, Aristarchus was with Paul when trouble happened. He was a fellow prisoner with Paul. He chose not to leave. Man, he had a strong heart. Matter of fact, if you look in Acts chapter 19, he says, man, there was a great uproar in the city. And when Paul was almost stoned and killed, Aristarchus was right there. You would think he would have looked at Paul at some point and says, you know what I've noticed about you, Paul? Is every time around you, someone's throwing rocks. Maybe I should find someone else to hang out with. Man, he had a courageous heart. And he was right in there. The second guy, and you look in those passages, he got very little attention. Write that down. You say, who was that? Jesus, who they called Justice. Let me tell you about him. I got nothing. That's the only time he's mentioned in all of Scripture. And Paul really doesn't say what he does. Almost no attention. You know, the truth is, in a church like this, in a ministry like this, there are some people that Satan from time to time will lie to and say, you don't matter. There are some people who Satan will lie to you, say, you know what, if I just drift away, no one will notice. There are some people that it always seems, and I'll tell you, one of the greatest struggles for me as a pastor and us as a staff is when we want to celebrate and do videos like this, because in every one of those videos of ministry and missions, someone was left out. Anytime someone gives a testimony, that means someone else doesn't. And there are times that people who seem to get very little attention, Satan can deceive you and tell you you don't matter. I'm thankful that Paul just mentioned this dude. And you know what? There might be a bunch of dudes in this church that do a lot that you never get mentioned. Keep doing. I'll tell you what, there are a bunch of ladies in this church who do a lot and don't get a lot of mention. So let me tell you, when we think about Paul's team, do not ever think God's not watching just because you don't get some attention. Another one had a previous failure. His name was Mark. As a matter of fact, he wrote the Gospel of Mark. He was Barnabas's cousin. If you go all the way back to Acts chapter 13 and Acts chapter 15, I don't have time to read those with you today because we want to get to fellowship time. But let me tell you a little bit about Mark. He was Barnabas's cousin, and in the church in Jerusalem, they held church in his house. There was a time in Acts chapter 13 when Paul and Barnabas, and through chapter 15, where Paul and Barnabas were going on a missionary journey. Barnabas said, you know what, I would like to bring someone in my family named Mark. They also called him John Mark, if you want to know, by the way. And they called him, they went on that missionary journey. Somewhere along that journey, John Mark either was homesick or things got a little too tense for him, or it seemed like every time Paul preached, someone threw a rock. And so Mark just said, I'm out, I'm going home. If you look in Acts chapter 15, they're getting ready to go. Paul and Barnabas are getting ready to go on another missionary journey. And Barnabas says, hey, you know, Mark wants to make another trip with us. He wants to go with us on this missionary journey. And Paul says, that ain't going to happen. And Barnabas says, well, why is that not going to happen? He goes, well, we gave him a shot. You remember what happened last time? We're traveling along. All of a sudden, poof, he's gone. He goes, Paul says, I don't minister with poof, he's gone guys. And Barnabas said, yeah, I think we ought to give him another shot. And if you go look in Acts chapter 15, it said those guys, Paul and Barnabas, begin to fight over this guy named Mark. Why? Because Paul wanted nothing to do with him. So Paul took someone else, went on a missionary journey. Barnabas restored Mark, went on a missionary journey. And here we are over in Colossae. And Paul is speaking praises about this guy he wouldn't let accompany him on a missionary journey earlier in his ministry. Not only that, if you go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, we won't go there today, but I put all of these verse references for you to go look them up. If you remember in 2 Timothy, that's a book where Paul is writing to Timothy, the pastor in Ephesus, and that's the same book where he says, you know what? I'm about finished my course. You want to know who he mentions right at the latter part of 2 Timothy? This guy named Mark, who's been an incredible comforter to him. You know, there are a lot of folks that you've had a past failure. You've tried to do something for the Lord, or you've done something in the church, you've done something in another church, and you've got a past failure. You tried to do something in ministry, and it just didn't work. See, different than Onesimus. Onesimus had a sinful past. There are times, I believe, that people in the church are much like Mark. They try a ministry with good heart, and either because they lose courage or the ministry doesn't flourish, man, they don't want to get involved again. They don't want to do something else again. They're afraid of failing. And so when someone asks, hey, would you consider leading this? Would you consider doing this? They're, no, I failed once. There's another category of people that I want to talk to you about. It's that last category of people. And I just want to call them the other others. How do you like that? Took me all week to come up with that thought. Talking about the others in ministry. So let me just talk to you about the others. Some were encouragers, some were this. Here are the other others. Look at those in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. He says, I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Now, let me just stop you right there. Epaphras was the guy who helped plant the church in Colossae, was probably the acting pastor. So I want to remind you of this. That's why Paul says, I promise you he's working for you. Now, I know y'all think I only work 1 hour a week, right? And I play golf the rest of the week. I want to encourage you with this. I am praying for you, and I am working for you and the rest of the staff. So Paul says he is always wrestling and praying for you that you would stand firm. It was him who went to Paul and began to talk about all the heresies that they were struggling with, that we dealt with as we went through Colossians chapter 1 and chapter 2. He was the one that brought that information to Paul. He says, I vouch for him that he is working hard for you. Look at verse 14. He says, also our dear friend Luke. All he had to say was the doctor, right? I mean, that's kind of like just the ace of spades. That's the trump card right there. Say no more, Luke, the doctor. We all know, right? All right, let's go on down. Let me read it. And then he says, and Demas sends greetings as well. He says, then give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha, in whose house the church met. He says, after this letter has been read to you, he says, see that it also is read to the church in the Laodiceans. Now, let's talk about the others. Let me just quickly roll through them. One had a strong commitment to prayer and work. He was the pastor of the church there. He was that guy that just was always about doing the business. That was Epaphras. Man, and Paul says, Epaphras is here. He's told me about your struggles. I've given him a letter. Now receive him back as your pastor and realize that when he speaks, he speaks for God and for me. Secondly, there was also one who was incredibly gifted. Boy, if you think about one who was incredibly gifted, that was Luke. Notice all Paul had to say was, Luke, the doctor. Have you ever noticed, you ever looked around church, and it seems like there are a couple of folks, whether they're men or women, that they just got it all. How many of you know those people, right? I mean, it was like Luke. You go back and you take Luke. Not only was Luke sharp, but he was a doctor. He went on missionary journeys with Paul, so he went on medical missions along the way. Not only that, in his spare time, he was dodging rocks with Paul, but staying faithful. Not only that, in his spare time, he says, hey, along with writing some things down that Paul did and said, let me go ahead and write the Gospel of Luke. Why am I going to write the Gospel of Luke? Because I'm going to diligently search out everything that happened and lay all of Jesus' life out in sequential order for you so it'd be easy for you to understand. Oh, and by the way, you know this whole church that exploded in the book of Acts? Let me go ahead and write down some of that as well. How many of you, I mean, be honest, don't those people kind of annoy you? Don't they? You're like, God, you know, I just would like a gift or two, a talent or two. Give me one solid skill. And it seems like some people get them all. You ever been those people? You met those people? Man, they're successful in their family. They're successful in their occupation. Then all of a sudden they stand up and teach and you're like, yeah, why can't I teach like that? You look at someone, they're the ones on the mission trip and they're doing this and they're doing that. And if we aren't careful, sometimes we can think, they're more important than me. The one who gets very little attention. And I want you to hear from Paul, that is not the case. See, Paul, even in this list, spent a lot more time talking about the others than he did Luke. See, because there's one Luke, but there are a whole bunch of others that made ministry happen. Not only that, Paul lists one here who strayed. Paul lists one here who strayed. His name was Demas. At the time of the writing of the book of Colossians, Demas was a faithful servant of the Lord. But by the time Paul wrote 2 Timothy, remember I talked to you earlier, he's at the end of his race and at the end of his road, and he says, man, John Mark is a great encouragement. Right before that, in verse 9 and following, Paul mentions this same guy named Demas. When he wrote the book of Colossae, Demas was faithful when we're serving the Lord. But by the time he got around to writing 2 Timothy, Paul says, Demas, who loved the world more than God, has left us. You say, Pastor, why would he be in there? That'd be a great guy not to mention, right, Lord? Right, Pastor? No. He's a perfect guy to mention. Anybody in here ever looked up to someone in ministry who seemed to venture away or had a major failure in their life or struggled? That was Demas. You ever grow up around someone or see someone in your youth group or something where there may have been a time, and I can think of people in my life that you're thinking in your life when I was youth, I looked at them and said, man, they love the Lord. And I remember times being at youth camp or whatever saying, I wish I loved the Lord as much as that person loved the Lord, right? And then follow them 5 or 10 or 20 years later and they've left the faith and left the church. That was Demas. So the point of Demas and the story is, don't let someone else leaving the church and loving the world more than they love God encourage you to do the same. Nor let it discourage you from doing what God has called you to do. One, all we know is that she opened her house so the church could meet there. Not a big deal, right? Wrong. That's a monstrous deal. See, in those days, they didn't have wonderful facilities and buildings like this where we could meet and do children's ministry. Somebody in the church just had to open their home. As we think about Explore God coming up, everybody here can be that person. As you just consider hosting a discussion group and opening your home like she did. You may not be the talented doctor, you may not be the ship's captain, you may not be the pastor of the church, but you can open your home. You say, Pastor, how would that conversation happen with my neighbors, and how would it happen with someone at the office? Well, my guess is, as you see the billboards and hear the see the TV ads from time to time, people are going to come up to you and say, man, what's all this Explore God stuff, right? Or it's an opportunity for you just to engage them. Are you seeing all this stuff? I mean, don't tell them you go to church here, and don't tell them we're part of Explore God. You just might roll up there and say, you seeing all this Explore God stuff around? And they go, you know, I have. What's that all about? And go, I don't know, but if you'll come over to our house or come to our church, our pastor's going to be preaching on it. And then not only that, I'm looking to explore God a little bit. I'm willing to open my home if you guys, you and your bride, or y'all want to come over, and we'll look at some videos and we'll explore God together. That's how easy you connecting with your neighbors and those you work with. Let me tell you, if people around them right now are aware of what's going on, they know Explore God is coming somehow, some way. And so you have this insert here. Would you be one in the ministry that is simply willing to open your house? You see, after all, as Paul just reminded us as we close the book of Colossians, it's the others that really make ministry happen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. God, what a joy it is to be your child. God, thank you for all the incredible Christological passages, the thoughts of Christ in us, the hope of glory, the garments that we should wear as a believer, all of those things that Paul shared. But God, I also thank you that Paul finished this amazing book by talking about the others that made ministry happen. Father, my prayer over all of our people in this place today is that they would see themselves as one of those others that makes ministry happen. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.